or shall I sin? Those were your choices because you had a sinful nature. Actually, now that you've been given an identity transplant, you now have choice, which means that when you sin, you're not sinning out of your sinful nature because you have a new nature. And actually, sin is now an alien thing for you as a child of God. It doesn't come natural to you. You have to choose to disobey God because it's not part of who you are now. And it's so important that we teach people in terms of discipleship in this environment of actually, Jesus has killed off sin at the cross. He's killed it off at the cross. And living for Christ is not just trying harder, but it's actually just living out of who you already are. You've been made alive with Christ. Number four, we are changed and are changing. It's the fourth foundation for making disciples. I've been changed and I'm still changing. Paul frequently refers to this amazing truth that God has done something in me and now I'm catching up with what has already happened. I am changing to get into line with what Christ has already done in my heart. That's why Paul says things like, be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that Christ is going to complete the work that he's begun in you. I'm changed, but I am changing. I'm growing. He has taken me from one degree of glory to another. And you know, the truth is that what has happened inside you is so stupendous, it's going to take the rest of your life to catch up with what's happened on the inside. What's happened inside is so remarkable that it's going to take the rest of your life and actually into eternity to really fully fathom and catch up with what has happened on the inside. You know, it's a little bit like jet lag. You know, when you go to New Zealand, right? You get off the plane and you look at your watch. You've adjusted your watch. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon as you land in Auckland Airport. But your brain and your body feels like it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You want to go to sleep. You want to lie down on the tarmac and just sleep. Okay? You feel like your head has been turned inside out and upside down. But the truth is, the reality is, it is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Something in me has got to adjust. Something in me has got to change to catch up with reality. And the truth is for disciples is that you have been changed and you are now changing in line with what is now true. It's key, absolutely key. And then four frameworks for discipleship before I hand on to Wendy. Thanks. Four keys, a framework for discipleship. Number five, intentional leadership. Intentional leadership. Even though others will help us in our discipleship, it is we, not they, who are responsible. It's really worth remembering. I think we said this in our discipleship series, that the goal of discipleship is not for me to have my disciples. The goal of discipleship is to make disciples of Jesus. He's the only one that has disciples. You don't have disciples. I don't have disciples. He has disciples. And that means actually it kills off this thought of, no one's discipling me. No one's getting hold of me. Because actually the truth is, you're a disciple of Jesus and he will put around you the people that you need to help you be more a disciple and follower of him. He's put around you in the community the people that you need at this stage of your journey to actually follow him more effectively. And Bill Johnson says this, that a lot of the things that you need will come to you. A lot of the things that you want, you'll have to go and find. I'll say that again. A lot of things that you need will come to you, but a lot of things that you want, you'll have to go and find. In other words, there is a deliberateness, an intentionality of, I want to be more his disciple. I want to follow him more effectively. What do I need? Where can I get that from? You know, what do I need to grow in? Who can I get alongside to learn from? Actually, the onus is on me because I'm his disciple. But he's put around me people that I can learn from. See, I don't have disciples. I just have people that I'm helping to be more his disciples. So there's an intentionality that's very, very important. And guys, I just want to challenge us in this. You know, discipleship culture is never going to take root unless we actually start doing it. Okay? Yeah, Jesus' picture, I think, of our lives is that we would be not lakes, but rivers. In other words, that there is a continual process of us receiving what we need, but also pouring out towards other people, living intentionally to give what you have away to someone else. You know, who are you having coffee with? Who is it that you're encouraging? Who is it you're sitting next to on a Sunday morning that needs something from the Lord? Who is it that's in your group that needs drawing alongside? Who is it that's in your circle, your sphere of leadership influence that you can intentionally pour into their lives? Sometimes it can be very small things. You know, sometimes a 10-minute conversation with someone can turn their life around. Sometimes you're walking with them from 10 years. Sometimes it's just a 10-minute conversation. But it's living with a deliberate kingdom perspective of I am a river, not a lake. I'm here to pour out intentionally into other people's lives. So the question here is, have you taken responsibility for your discipleship? And who are you giving away to? Principle number 6, people and places. So discipleship happens in lots of different environments, the large, the small, the medium size. Actually, discipleship happens in the context of all these different environments that we have around us, the intimate space, the personal one-on-one relationships, the small groups, the Sunday mornings, the large kind of celebration meetings. Actually, learning to be like Jesus happens in all these different places and with connection to lots of different people. Key question for you is, which size group is important for you in this season of your life? Number 7, language. We use a common language for our discipleship where clear principles are shown in a way that's easy to remember, understand, and pass on to others. So one of the reasons that we've worked really hard to try and get a language, a toolbox of tools that we can use as a community is that we want something that is very, very easy to reproduce and replicate with others. You know, if you're in the army, you know, I'm sure there's 100 different ways that you can kind of reassemble a gun. Okay, but in the army, they'll teach you to do it one way, over and over and over and over and over again, to the point where you could reassemble that thing blindfolded. And you could teach someone else how to assemble a gun because you've learned it a particular way. There's a language for assembling that gun, if that makes sense. And one of the reasons why we've worked so hard to try and pull together a language is for that very reason. So actually, we can easily reproduce some of the key foundations of discipleship right across our church community with the young, with the old, and everyone in between. And the truth is, you know, it may be that I have my own particular way of studying the Bible, for example. And I may look at our discipleship tool, which is about the Word. You know, what does it say? What's its original meaning? What does it reveal about God? What am I going to do as a result? That's our Word tool. Now, I may think, I've got a better way of studying the Bible. You know, I'm not really sure about that. Well, actually, I want to encourage us to learn how to use the tools that we're developing together because it's going to enable a whole army to get hold of these things and to reproduce it left, right, and center. And so having a common language together is really, really important. I just want to say, you know, we're on kind of draft 1.0 of our discipleship language. And we're just at the moment going back into all the tools and looking at them and seeing what we need to change and adjust. And I would really, really appreciate your comments and feedback. If you think there are tools that can shift or change or be more usefully expressed in different ways, please, please give us your feedback because that will be really helpful as we draft 2.0 of our discipleship language. So common language is really, really important. And then last of all, the environment of heaven. The environment of heaven. In other words, our discipleship, the way in which we make disciples is within a particular culture. It's within a particular environment. And of course, the way that we've expressed our culture in this church is through our 5 cultural values of honor, authenticity, acceptance, generosity, and courage. And the way in which we want to make disciples is totally within that environment, that kingdom environment where we are honoring towards those that we are drawing alongside. We're authentic, we're being vulnerable, and at the same time, confidential. We're accepting of people. We disciple in a judgment-free environment. You know, our discipleship is not finger-wagging or lecturing. Discipling is actually, it's accepting, it's including, it's drawing people out. Discipling is generous. It's generous of our time. It's generous of our resources, of our investment. And it's courageous. You know, discipleship takes speaking the truth in love, which can sometimes be the very hardest and most courageous thing to do. And so the way in which we will build this discipleship culture in our church is within this umbrella of the environment of heaven, where actually everyone starts to thrive and grow into who they are in God. So those are our eight foundations and frameworks. Sound good? Great. Well, Wendy is going to just come and help us land some of these things practically and just take us through a tool and get us engaging with some of these things. So let's welcome Wendy, shall we?
All right. Okay, guys. Thank you so much, Phil. That was awesome. Well
Thanks.
Done. Really, really exciting. Guys, I just want to spend a bit of time helping us to specifically ground the language. You guys recognize these? I drew them earlier. You guys recognize them? Okay. There's a sheet coming out, courtesy of Tom Heesman, who did a pub quiz a while back with his small group to see how much they actually remembered of the discipleship language. And don't have to do anything with that, but just use it as a provocation, I guess, to think to yourself, do I know what these mean? And if not, how can I find out? Okay, so they're going to come around. You can just take them home and get used to them at home, on your own, on your groups. I just think the important thing for us guys is that we could teach on this, and this just could become theory and information if we don't work out how to use it and we don't ground it in our everyday life. And I want to get a bit practical. I just want to encourage us as leaders to take time to learn these tools. It's going to take some time for us to learn what they are, how to use them. So take some time to practice on each other using them and see how you go and get feedback. These are available on the app, King's Arms app. They're also now on the website under the resources tool, so you can access them there. And they are going to be printed out pretty soon, the next couple of weeks, so you'll be able to get hold of a printed copy for a small fee so that you can have it on your person, and just learn them, okay, as we go. I think the key thing is there's probably two broad areas of how you can use these as leaders. I think the first one is in your small group or missional community or your team, or when you're one-on-one with person, you might just choose to use one to help your group before you step into a worship, for example. You might just in your group say, guys, let's just remember what worship is all about. Draw the refresh symbol. Remember, guys, it's going through praise, worship, glory, and unpack it together. Before you read the Bible, you could draw the word symbol and just talk through. Let's remind ourselves how we're going to read the word together, what we're looking for. So you can reinforce these things in a group setting all together. You can just decide one to look at. Let's see how healthy we're feeling together as a group at the moment. Let's draw the battery, talk about how healthy we're feeling in terms of our body, mind, spirit, and emotions. You could decide to look at your identity together and just say, okay, guys, let's remember who we are. Draw the fast forward thing. Do you know what I mean? So you're reinforcing it in a group setting in your missional community or one-on-one. You just pick a symbol and you just reinforce it with somebody or in your group. Does that make sense? So rather than just going into prayer, for example, you might say, let's just spend some time remembering what prayer is all about. What do we have to remember? Start. What's start mean? And talk it through together in your groups. Does that make sense? It's very easy. I hope I'm not teaching you guys stuff that you would easily do anyway. But anyway, where's the pen? In my pocket. So another one you might do, I just feel like I wanted to focus in on this one, is the turning up the brightness of the kingdom. You guys remember this symbol? I don't know if I've done seven things there. Turning up the brightness of the kingdom. So in your small group, in your missional community, you could just say to, remind people, guys, we're called to see God's kingdom break out wherever we go. The kingdom of God is always advancing. Let's just remind ourselves, what does it look like when the kingdom of God breaks in? And then you would, in your group, imagine this is a group, tell me some of the things we should expect. Guys? Salvation? Okay, salvation and deliverance are all one. Okay, joy, peace, comfort. Say again? Justice, there's seven aspects. Healing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's one more. That's under this. I'm just trying to remember what it is. What is it, guys? Salvation, deliverance, joy, peace, comfort, justice, healing, and... What is it? God's presence. Thank you, Marco. Yes. Well done. Okay. And the key in this, guys, is not just the case of going through a tool. You've got to get good at asking good questions. Otherwise, we're just giving information. Okay. Guys, this is what the kingdom looks like. Full stop wouldn't be helpful. The next thing you need to do is, okay, guys, in what area in our missional community, in your workplace, is the kingdom really bright right now? Let's celebrate that. Okay, which areas of the kingdom do we need to turn the brightness up in, and how are we going to do that? What should we do over the next couple of weeks? If it's healing, how are we going to turn up the brightness of the kingdom in terms of healing over the next couple of weeks? Well, we could get some words of knowledge together. Great, let's do it over the next couple of weeks. Do you see what I'm saying? So you're reminding people of what it's all about, but then you're asking good questions to help people actually take some steps. Because if you want discipleship to happen, you don't want to just communicate information. You need to help people to have some momentum and move forward. Does it make sense? So that's one way you could do it. You could do it in your groups and just reinforce some of the symbols. The other thing I think we need to get used to is in our conversations with people one-on-one, or even in our group times together where discussions have taken place, that we just get used to having thoughts of, actually, it would be really helpful because of what you've just talked to me about to sit down with you and go through one of the tools. So, for example, you might be speaking to someone on one occasion and they are speaking negatively about themselves. You can tell they just don't rate themselves very much, or they've just confessed some sin to you and they're feeling rubbish about themselves. A really good tool to sit down with them and go through would be the fast forward into your new identity. Does this make sense? So we're using the tools intelligently and thinking, what does this individual actually need in this moment? So if someone is speaking negatively about themselves, you might want to say, okay, let's get a coffee together. I want to talk some stuff through with you. And then you talk through the truth about who they now are because they're in Christ. Okay? Another example, I was having coffee with a lady recently, and she said to me, I used to think I was a pastor, but I'm just wondering now if I'm actually more apostolically minded, and I think more apostolically. I don't really know, I'm a bit confused. She's not part of our church. But immediately in my head, I thought, EQ yourself, apest, you know, the apostolic, prophetic, shepherd, teacher, and evangelist. And so I actually needed the toilet at the time, so I quickly got my phone out, got the app up, got to the apest thing. I said, read this, and when I come back, we'll talk it through. And it was so, so good. And suddenly she thought, oh, hang on a minute, that's so helpful. She suddenly realized that what she'd been feeling in her heart was actually okay, and we just talked it through together. Really easy, didn't even draw it, just kind of passed off my phone as I went to the loo. Or on other occasions, you might spend time with someone who doesn't really know what they're called to or where they fit or what God has got for them or what God wants them to do. And in that instance, we're going to go through this together in just a minute in pairs. So pay attention if you've fallen asleep for a minute, because you'll need to know what to do in just a minute. It's a teaching strategy. Okay. We're going to actually go through this together in pairs. The turning the volume down symbol. Okay. So... you guys, I'm sure, will remember this. If you don't, we're going to go through it real quick, and then you can have a go on each other, okay? Turning the volume down to work out, who am I called to be? What am I called to do? So if you're sitting with someone and they don't really know what they're called to, or they're a bit confused about what's next for them, this is a fantastic symbol to use. And so let's just remind ourselves what it all stands for. What does the D stand for, guys? Well done. O and opportunities or need W wants and N natural gifts. So let me just talk it through with you real quick, and then you're going to do it with the person next to you, okay, and just have a little practice. So you might be sitting with someone, and again, guys, this is about intelligent use of the tool. It's not just a case of sitting down with someone and, what's your direction of prophecy? Oh, what's the opportunities? And just kind of being a bit robotic. You might want to ask additional questions as you go through. So you're sitting with someone, hey, have you had any sense of what God's calling you to? Has anyone prophesied over you anything about your calling? Or have you felt God say anything to you specifically? Now, this case, they might say yes and have it all. They have a sense of what God said to them, in which case you need to ask them, okay, well, what are the next steps for you? You don't necessarily then have to go through the whole rest of the thing because, okay, they feel called to, for example, impact orphans and help with adoption in this nation. I'm thinking of Rachel Hickman. She knew what she wanted to do. The next question for her was, well, what do you do? What's the next steps for you? What can you then make a decision to have a go at to fulfill what God's speaking to you about? If someone says to you they have absolutely no idea, you could ask them, how do you feel in terms of hearing from God? Because they might not have any frame of reference of the prophetic, for example, in which case you could go and use another tool. Do you know what it's called? Record the prophetic. You could talk that through with them. It might be too much to go through this straight away. You might want to think, okay, well, how do you hear from God? Do you hear from God? Do you know how to hear from God? Okay? So you could go back to that and stop at that point. Does this make sense? If they haven't got a sense of anything, another question is, what opportunities are there around you and what needs are there? Because actually what happens is often we can step into an opportunity or need having no clue what we're called to, and suddenly God awakes something up in our hearts and we're like, gosh, this is what I'm called to. So I know someone, a friend of mine, who came to Bedford not knowing what she was called to. An opportunity arose to work in the kids' work, and as she's stepped into that opportunity, God has spoken to her about more of her calling. Does that make sense? So talk to the person. What opportunities are available for you? What could you have a go at? Because God might use that to speak to you about what he's calling you to do. Another really good question is, what do you want to do? It's a really good question. People can get so hung up in, I've got to find the right thing. Good question. What do you want to do? What excites your heart? What do you get passionate about? What do you get feisty about? What makes you angry? All those questions, you can find out what is in someone's heart. And if they suddenly talk about, I'm really passionate about seeing women who are abused come into a place of family, well, then you ask, okay, what are some opportunities you could get involved in now to see that worked out? How could you get practiced in working alongside women? What could you do? What are some contacts for you? And you can help to contact people with different people. And then natural gifts. What are you good at? What are your strengths? If they don't know what their strengths are, then you can point them to the Strength Finders test, or you can give them some encouragement to do some online tests. What are you good at? If you don't know what you're good at, ask your friends around you. Ask them, what do you think my strengths are? And that can help you then to work out, okay, if this is my strength, this is something I could then have a go at. Okay, does that make sense? Is that helpful? Do you want to add something?
Just want to underline, guys, just how critical this is. I think we're going to be using these to disciple unbelievers. I think this is going to be some people's gateway in. I was with someone the other day. She's not a follower of God in any way. She's in a lesbian relationship. Caroline had a dream for her a number of years ago, which I brought to her. And we started talking through. She said to me, as I met her again, which I hadn't seen her for a while, she said to me, I realized that someone was speaking to me. I was at a crossroads. The dream is about being at a crossroads. Someone was speaking to me about being at a crossroads. That basically she was saying God was speaking to me. She didn't want to use that language. And she said, I've realized I've been fighting that word all these years, but I've made a decision. I've gone a different way. I've broken up with the person I was with. And it was a discipleship moment with someone who doesn't know Christ at all. And I just think, actually, we get this into our blood. It's going to help. Actually, some people are going to come in through the front door. Others are coming through the side door as what they start to realize that we're discipling them just in our natural life. The other thing is just recognize that if you thought the discipleship thing was just a 10-week series and then, okay, we're moving on to something else, really do think again. Because some of you were not around when we set culture. We 5-6 years ago, we started saying, defining this whole culture. And in my mind, it was a five-year project. I'm thinking, it's going to be a five-year project to get this culture stuff into people's blood. And it has been 5 years. And now we are reaping the benefits of going over the same thing again and again. But now, our culture is invading all sorts of places. You know, Karen's taking it into NHS settings. We've got businesses that are now living out our culture. You know, businesses run by non-Christians who are attempting to live out the kingdom. King's Arms culture. It's happening. And so recognize that we're on a journey as a community and now in discipleship. And we're at the kind of the sharp end of that now. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take our thinking. It's going to take submitting our own desires, actually thinking, oh, I like to do things my own way. No, do it this way. You know, you might say, you meet with someone and say, well, I like to talk about the kingdom differently. Use that tool. Talk about the kingdom that way. You can bring your other stuff in later. Use that tool, because if we can get whole people learning to think the same way, they will take it out and start wherever they go in the world, you know? It's the same with the culture stuff. It's got into people's blood. A young guy, I was talking with someone, he was in a connection, a relationship, and we were talking, the three of us, and halfway through the conversation, he stopped me and said, Simon, I just feel like what you just said wasn't very honouring. And it was brilliantly brave of him to say it, and he was bang on. And I was so excited, because I thought, if this young guy has got the guts to challenge me about honour, the culture is in his blood. He can go anywhere in the world now, and he's going to live out a culture of honour. That was a defining moment for him and me. I was excited, because I thought, this stuff has now got a life of its own. And I think it's the same. God is calling us to create a discipling movement, so that people who come here get discipleship in their blood, and then you can transport them anywhere in the world, and they'll just do the stuff. So just underline what Wendy and Phil are saying.
Really good. So good. I would just say, we're going to have a go at this, guys. I would just echo that. It's been really good for me spending time to write stuff on this. I've gone over it and it's really come alive. I thought, this is so good. Do you know what I mean? It's so helpful to be able to just think about things in the moment and help people become all they're called to be in God. And I just would say a couple of other things, particularly with this down symbol. I would say it's really helpful to write it down with the person if you have a pen with you, because then you've got something to give them to them to take away of what stuff you've written down with them, okay? And the other thing I would say, a couple of really good questions to ask off the back of the down symbol would be, number one, what lies would potentially hold you back from doing what God's called you to? It's a really good question, okay? So it's not just information, okay? What lies might hold you back from taking the next steps? And secondly, a really good question I'd like you guys to get to when we do this in a minute is, what are your next steps this week? Okay, it helps to bring accountability to what people are saying, and that's when discipleship happens. Does that make sense? Because they're actually taking some steps. Okay, so we've actually got 5 minutes only, so it's going to be a speed version of the down symbol. Hopefully, if you had more time, you'd have a coffee. But share, just pair up with the person next to you, grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, and decide who's going to be the discipler and who's the one who's going to be discipled, and have a go. The down symbol. Go for it. All right, guys. We're out of time. Really sorry. But, sorry, guys, to interrupt. But I hope that's helpful, that you've picked up something of our heart in terms of getting it into our DNA. Just to say, take this away and test yourself. What could you remember? What would you remember about the discipleship tools before going online, and then go online and just kind of fill in the gaps? See what you can remember. It's really helpful to do that. Have a practice in your friendships, in your groups. Have a go at bringing out some of the tools. And yeah, let's go for it, guys. I think it's so exciting that God's put this in our weaponry. And so let's use it, make the most of it. We're going to